There's not much of a white Christmas Eve for us, but there's little patches that are left, aren't there, right, to remind us of what last week was like, the adventure that at least those of us who were here in Portland got to experience together. Any of you get to drive last Wednesday afternoon? Yeah, welcome to the joy of that, right? So there's some little images to kind of bring back the horror and the excitement. Whatever it was, wherever you were, if you were in Portland last Wednesday, I will tell you the one unifying thing about you is that you wanted to get home without asking for help at all. Right? That's the goal. Whether I leave early enough that that happens, or I drive well enough that it happens. But my goal is I don't want to ask someone else to help me get out of a ditch. I don't need to call a tow truck. I don't want to call 911, right? I want to be able to get from wherever I am to home without anybody helping me. To varying degrees, we found success with that, right? That's the ultimate goal that we had, but we all realize that there's times, and certainly for many people in Portland, that didn't come true for them last Wednesday, right? Circumstances were such that a lot of people needed help from somebody else, right? They needed help because they got stuck. They needed help because they ran out of gas. They needed help because they couldn't get to their school to pick up their kid. They needed help because they had to walk home and it got cold and someone offered them a ride. So there were a lot of ways that we accepted help in the midst of that because it got too big for many of us individually to make it through. We basically wake up in the morning hoping to not ask anybody for help today, right? I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning like, I would love to ask for help today, right? No, none of us do that. Every day, every new day we start, we're like, I want to make it through today and not need the help of others, or at least as minimally as possible. And some days that works out well for us. Some days it doesn't. Can you just on your own, don't have to tell anyone else about it, think over this last, 2016. When are the times that you needed help from somebody? You don't have to say anything, just think in your head. Can you think of some of those times that you needed somebody to help you? Probably don't have to go that far, right? It's a natural human part of our experience. Maybe there's bigger things, right? I tore my ACL. I'm not fixing that on my own. You know, baby, give me a butter knife and I'm at it, right? No, that's not going to happen, right? Someone else fixed that for me. But then last week, Melissa sent me to the store to get some things, and I got help from 5 employees at Safeway to find everything on the list. I think there was 6 or 7 things on the list. But Safeway employees were very helpful for me, right? So there's a lot of ways that we need help from others. Some are pretty minimal, but we accept that as much as we can. Some are a little bit more challenging. And sometimes as they get bigger and bigger in our lives, we begin to get more desperate, right, as we see that we don't have the help that we need around us. It's pretty common, right? There's larger issues in life, and maybe those are medical ones, where we realize, wow, I need help. This is out of my league, right? Maybe they're relational things, maybe they're financial ones, maybe it's dealing with an addiction somewhere. We're just like, whoa, this is bigger than me. I need some help for that. We've been going through on Sunday mornings this old book, Isaiah, that's 700 years before Jesus lived. And Isaiah wrote about one of those experiences for himself, where he was so desperate. He said, every other resource I have is run out, right? I've called 911, I've checked with my doctor, everything else I can't fix this issue. So he cries out, he says, God, could you just come out of heaven? Could you just rend the heavens, tear them apart, come down here and do God-sized stuff around me? Because I have nowhere else to turn, right? This is this cry of desperation. I need a God-sized answer for what it is that I'm facing. Can you just imagine, what do you think it would look like if God answered that prayer? His prayer, oh God, would you rend the heavens and just come down? Right, if you had to picture that, paint it, produce a story or a movie about that, all the CGI you want to include in there, right? What would it look like if God literally did that? Rip the heavens apart and just said, boom, I'm coming. Imagine it just in your own head, kind of craft it out for yourself. Isaiah does that in the verses right afterward. Right, and maybe his image is a lot like yours. He's like, God, there'd be mountains, it would be a shaken, right? There'd be fire. I don't even know why there'd be fire. There'd just be exuberant, abundant fire all over the place, just because that's what it would kind of look like. And throw in some extra lightning, boom, 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 and the thunder that goes along with it. You know, there would be enemies running away in terror on every direction, right? And you would just be there, right? And whatever problem it was, boom, gone, because God is there, right? It would be overwhelming, right? Way more than is absolutely needed, right? I don't think you need quite that big of a sumo wrestler in that situation, but that's kind of what Isaiah is picturing, right? It's more of God than I really need. I had a problem. It was kind of big, but you just came in a big, big way, right? Overwhelming was the whole nature of what Isaiah was going to expect from God. Maybe that's kind of like what you pictured in your mind too. Maybe not the sumo wrestler. That's a little weird. But this overwhelming nature, right? God coming in a really, really big way. Isaiah finishes up that chapter and he asks the question that we all settle in our hearts at some point. He's like, God, what is it going to be? Are you going to stay locked up in heaven quiet as a church mouse? Or are you going to come down and do something? Are you going to come into this world and really help us because we need you? What is it going to be? And thankfully, God answers that. Right, that cry that God that Isaiah raised, that we do too. God, would you rend the heavens? Would you come down and just be God around us? God does answer it. God rends the heavens, right? But he does it in the most unassuming way. Right? How does he do it? With something called a zygote. Anyone know what that is? It's a fertilized egg, the size of a grain of sand, right? There's God, like, pulling it out, putting it down there. Right? If you don't blink, you'll still miss it. Right? That's like the antithesis of shaking the mountains. It's the total opposite of all the fire and the lightning. Right? This little zygote floating on its way down there, rending the heavens, and there it is. Boom. God's like, I'm on task, right? Here I am. Showing up. Wow, maybe that's just an anomaly, though. Maybe it's just a little weird moment for God. He's like, I want to start small, get really big later on. That's how I kind of roll, right? So God does it in the heavens. He does it, first of all, by coming in the most unassuming way. This small kind of double cell that comes into Mary and begins to produce a child inside of her. But then as the story goes on, we find out that's not just kind of an anomaly. That begins to be how God operates. Because where does this baby then come out and enter into the world? Right? We all know the town, right? Probably. Where is it? There you go, rock stars. Bible trivia all the way, right? Right? So Bethlehem is like this huge, leading, powerful city, right? No, population less than 1,000. Have any of you been recently to Looking Glass, Oregon? That is Looking Glass as one word, Oregon. Anyone? Anyone been there at all? A few. Well done, right? That's the same size as Bethlehem. Right? Or Donald, Oregon? Oh, a few more. Okay. Yeah. Same size, right? You're not looking for Looking Glass, Oregon to be like the splash point of changing the world, right? There's not media gathered all around that town waiting, and in any moment something big is coming from Looking Glass. No, right? It is underwhelming. Absolutely all the way, right? Could you find a smaller town? Maybe a little bit, but that's pretty much at the end of the spectrum. As far as anything that might be transformative. And it's not like it was in the richest person's house in Looking Glass, Oregon, or Bethlehem, right? It's in a manger. It's hanging out with the animals, not even with the people. It's as underwhelming as you could begin to get things to be. And who does God come and talk to then, right? The only people that are awake at that moment, the shepherds. Right? Which is not a high-class position, right? Who's going to be awake at midnight tonight? On their job, well, kids, try not to be. You got to get to bed sometime, right? Who's going to be awakened at work at midnight tonight? I don't know, people at Plaid Pantry maybe, or someone at a gas station? right? Maybe a nurse somewhere. Like, but it's not like the richest kind of people, right? It's pretty underwhelming. Shepherds included in that. As the story moves along, we find out that this little baby, he's born in this small little town, met by these kind of scrummy shepherds that kind of find their way in there, right? And then we find out that he becomes a refugee. He has to leave his own town and learn a new language. He grows up learning to speak Egyptian and hanging out with the Egyptian kids because he has to run away from Pharaoh for a while, or run away from Herod for a while. That's pretty underwhelming too, right? There's refugees all over the world. We're not looking for them to produce great leadership or transformative qualities. We're just hoping they don't cause problems. Right? So the story goes on, and we could spend a lot of time here of this pattern of an underwhelming nature. But if you fast forward a little bit farther ahead, you find this story of an underwhelming presence of God rending the heavens, shown up by this refugee that grows up and is convicted as a criminal and put on a cross and dies. One of thousands of guys to die on crosses. Right? No big news splash coming out of that. But in that moment, in that very underwhelming execution on a cross, there is the hope for all of mankind, right? The only hope for all of mankind. Your chance to live after you die is wrapped up in that incredibly underwhelming moment of one more guy dying on a cross. Romans do it all the time. So what we have are not some anomalies somewhere. What we have, what I want you to see tonight, is that there is a pattern that God has of taking overwhelming power and packaging it, wrapping it in something that is incredibly underwhelming. Right? That's significant for us. Because it caught a lot of people by surprise, right? It caught Isaiah by surprise. He's like, shake the mountains, bring the fire. Being born in a manger caught a lot of people by surprise. Death on a cross caught a lot of people by surprise. If you were to cry out today, God, would you rend the heavens? And he's like, sure, I'll come down. Where do you think he might show up? Do you know he's actually already done that? You may not even know it, right? God already rent the heavens today. And he came down. He said, I'm here. You know where that is? Oh, you're going to laugh. It's the church. Can you think of anything more underwhelming than the Christian church? With all of its warts and all of its failures and all of its hopes that fizzle out here and there and stumbling along the way, God says, yeah, I'm right in there. But is it any more underwhelming than the manger or the cross? It's not. It's all part of the same thing. It's the same pattern. It's the same God all the way. He says, I'm not going to be big and overwhelming for you. There's a few moments that stand out, but don't look for me there. Right? If you want to find this God present in our lives, right? If you look honestly in your own heart or honestly, man, just watch the news. It's not really that hard at the world around us. Pretty naturally, you should cry out, God, would you just show up? And my hope is not in a political process. My hope is not in the leaders of the world around us. My hope is not in my local leaders. My hope isn't in all those things, right? If you don't come in and do something, we're all kind of messed up somewhere along the way. And God hears that and he says, yes, I'm going to rend the heavens. I'm going to come down. I'm going to be present with you. It's Christmas that teaches us where to look. If you want to find out if God is alive and around you somewhere, then it's Christmas that sets that pattern that says you should look in the underwhelming places if you want to see the presence of God. If you want to see God showing up in power, it may not be in a palace that you look for him. It may not be in a boardroom that has authority over nations. Right? It may be in a humble church somewhere. It may be in a family welcoming in someone else when they have barely enough to survive on their own. You might be surprised that God is nearer than you ever imagined. Right? And Steve, you can click the last one, right? That God is closer than you think. And that's really the surprise of Christmas. We get caught up sometimes wanting this big, powerful God, and He is big and He is powerful, but He wraps Himself up in the things that underwhelm us. But He's here, and He's here tonight. Not in a way that's going to shock you, not in a way that's going to knock you over, but He is. Kind of underwhelming, but just as powerful, just as loving, just as amazing as He was when those angels came, as He was when He died on that cross, as He'll be tomorrow too. I invite you to pray with me. God, if I get any vote, I would still vote for the overwhelming rending of the heavens. I'm along with Isaiah, shake some mountains, bring some fire, as long as I'm safe. But I've seen enough to see that you have a pattern that you've chosen, and nobody forced you to do that. And if I want to see you, God, I may have to wait a long time to see something overwhelming, but maybe not all that long to find you present in the underwhelming. So this Christmas, God, give us eyes to look at the little, to look at the gentle, to look at the humble, and maybe, just maybe, find God in those places. Amen.